because we went in there to clean today, and they hadn't slept in the beds, they hadn't done anything. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. Well, then she said, yeah, she said they were carrying in a bunch of, like, it was two women, and they were carrying in a bunch of, like, photography equipment.
Oh, yeah. So. For sure.
And then she said she overheard one of them say that they needed a big fluffy robe. So I'm like, that's yes. totally what it is.
I love it. Where there's that boudoir woman that does the boudoir shoots in yeah. Marquette.
They're expensive, though.
Are they expensive?
Mm-hmm. Stacey had one done. Yeah.
That's so fun.
And she said that she would highly recommend it.
Yes.
She also said, though, that you have so much makeup on because it's, like, photography makeup, not, yeah. like, your life makeup.
Yeah.
That you kind of look ridiculous. But then in the photos, they all turn out. Like, you can tell in the photos that she has makeup on, but not, yes. she said not as much as she
actually did. I would totally do that.
You should do it.
I don't know how Mike would feel about me getting a boudoir shoot. I'm all for it, though. Like, if somebody wants to do that, men, women, I don't care.
It reminds me
go
of,
make yourself feel good.
On Golden Girls, when Rose gets one done, and she has it, like, framed for Miles.
That's
her
the
boyfriend,
best.
And he opens it in front of, like, all his buddies, even though she's, like, fighting, like, don't open it, don't open it. And he did anyway.
I don't remember that episode, but I haven't watched Golden Girls like you have watched Golden
Girls.
Well,
it was Blanche's idea, and she...
Of course.
She's like, pick out your, like, sexiest lingerie, and she comes out in this, like, plaid flannel nightie, and she's like, this really gets him going.
Oh, I love it. Anytime I think of stuff like that, I think of that Seinfeld episode with George when he gets that picture taken on the leather couch in his boxers.
Oh, yeah. And also, they did it in Sex and the City, too, where Samantha goes to have a shot done. And they're like, you can start out, you know, just relax.
And like, she's just like,
drape
nope.
your rope. And she's like, nope. And just drops it.
She's the best.
Puts her leg up on a chair.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I understand the appeal of Sex and the City, like, when I was in college. But now I'm like, maybe not so much.
It's because when you're in college, you, like, identified with Carrie, and now you're like, oh my God, she was the bitch.
She was the worst.
Mm-hmm.
She was always judging everybody.
And breaking up relationships and dating really good guys and wrecking it.
Yeah. I like to think I am a Miranda and Sam. Maybe Charlotte and Sam. Like, combo.
Well, I think ideally you're a little bit of every character. You're not just, like, one character 100%.
God, if you were one character 100%, it would be wild.
Exactly. Nobody wants that. You need to be a little bit of each one.
A mix.
Yeah. Like Golden Girls. You want to be, like, a little bit of each one of them.
That's true. Golden Girls is like Sex and the City, like...
Yeah.
40 years.
Yeah. Actually, the Golden Girls weren't that old.
They were... But they look... Old, but you're right. They weren't that old. Like, aren't they only supposed to be, like, in their 50s or 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Wild. Mom looks younger.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the clothes and the hairstyles and the...
And they have their little house in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Little retirement home.
I'm glad we went running today.
Me too. Well, we went to Jeffrey's for lunch, breakfast.
I haven't been there in forever. Is it good?
It's good. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's like a better Big Boy.
Okay.
With no buffet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we did that. And then I came home and just, like, showered and put on my winter sweater. Because it is 55 degrees out in May. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're dumb.
How am I dumb?
You're not dumb. I think you're just normal and I'm always cold.
I'm wearing a sundress.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was I went to the cleaning job and then I came home and I started digging up the backyard. I told you what I'm doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, scraping all of the weeds off of the top, and then we're putting down fertilizer and topsoil, and then I'm planting wildflowers.
Yeah. Your neighbor is going to love that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he will.
That's fine. Who cares?
So I scraped probably as big as this table.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a little bit more, but I just left the dirt in piles. So I'm going to have to, like, go and dump them out in the woods.
Yeah.
But I got tired. And then I lay down on the bed, and then the cat laid on me, and I almost fell asleep, but I took a shower instead.
I took a nap. I brought down my big blanket from upstairs, and Cooper came up while I was playing Animal Crossing and listening to Ask a Mortician on YouTube. I'm obsessed with that channel.
I haven't watched it. I know you recommended it, but I haven't.
Well, haven't yet. And Emma has her books, too, or a couple of her books, so I want to borrow them.
Like Niece Emma?
Yeah. Yeah, Ask Mortician on YouTube for all of your grave questions. So good. Yeah, what are we doing?
I don't know what we're doing today?
Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode, we're going to Australia in the Netflix original Cargo. It was directed by Ben Howling and Yolanda Ramke, and it was written by Yolanda Ramke. It stars Simone Landers as Toomey, Bruce Carter as Willie, Toomey's dad, Natasha Wanganine as Toomey's mom, Josie, Martin Freeman as Andy.
Woohoo!
I know, he's great. Susie Porter as Kay. And then Rosie, their daughter, is played by two sets of twins.
Yeah.
Marlene Jane and Lily Ann McPherson Dobbins, and Finley and Nova.
It's okay, just skip it.
Drewberg. and then there's Anthony Hayes as Vic and Karen Pistorius as Lorraine. They're only in it for
a little bit, yeah.
Brief moments. I would go into what all of these great actors have been in. A lot of them are kind of no names. Well, no names to American mm-hmm. audiences, because most of the actors are Australian. Yeah. So we all know Martin Freeman was in The Hobbit. I hope he's great. I love it. I love him. I think he's wonderful.
This was nominated for a ton of awards, but it only won one award.
It was nominated for a Fangoria Chainsaw Award.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was nominated for a ton of stuff. The only one that it got, though, is it was the winner of the Australian Writers Guild Feature Film
mm-hmm.
Award. I'm angry that you made me watch this.
Were you sad?
Did it make you
sad? Yeah, it's a very...
I cried like 10 times.
Yeah. So the original, or the film, is based off of like a 5-minute short story created by Ben Howling. And it was a short film on YouTube. It was along the same lines as Mama. Like, Mama started mm-hmm. out as a short film too. Maybe by Ben Howling too. Because I want to say I watched them like in order or something. But yeah, very short film. And then it got so many YouTube likes and shares and all the things that they were like, hey.
They had like millions of views.
Yeah. And the short film is found under the same name. It came out in 2013. I loved it. I do think that this film, the Netflix movie, was quite long. It could have been shorter. It's an hour and 45 minutes. I feel like it could maybe have been cut down a little bit. I think
it kind of, they did that to draw it out, though, to just make it a little bit more suspenseful.
It's one of those slow burn movies
mm-hmm.
that is very depressing. I mean, right. Depending on how you look at it, though. Like, the kid.
Depressing. Yeah.
You're welcome. Some, I don't know.
So the story is basically about a plague in Australia.
Created by fracking.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
It was a virus, kind of makes you into a zombie. I mean, the loose sense of the word zombie.
Yeah, the miners, like, fracked, and this virus was released,
mm-hmm.
created havoc.
Yeah. So the whole idea behind the story is this family, they're trying to keep their daughter, their baby, safe. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work out. I mean, it does work out, but it doesn't. It's very depressing.
Not for the parents. Yeah, and this isn't like a too gory film either.
It's not particularly gory.
Gory. I personally liked it, but it's not a film that I would watch all the time. Like, I would watch maybe, like, once every few months or something.
Did we just skip to the end of our podcast?
We did. Anyway, yeah. Fuck. Okay.
All right. It starts out with a native girl.
Toomey.
Mm-hmm. Running. You don't know what she's doing. She's just running through, like, South Australia. There's a small family, mom and dad and little baby girl on a riverboat. And they see a balloon. You know, you don't, at this point, you think nothing of it.
No, you don't think anything's going on.
Also, I would like to tell you that I thought this was like, when you said cargo, I thought I was watching the wrong movie for like 10 minutes because I thought it was supposed to be about like a cargo ship.
No.
Or like cargo with monsters in it.
No. Cargo is the baby. The baby's the cargo.
I realized that I caught on to that fairly quickly. However, I thought it was going to be just like some gory, like slasher thing. So we have this like fun one for my birthday. And then you're like, you know what? I think you should cry a lot watching a quote scary movie.
I know.
Yeah. So Andy, the dad, a balloon like goes floating up in the sky and he's kind of looks at it like, oh, that's weird. Well, there's a family on the beach having a party.
Yeah, you don't think anything of it.
No.
It's like, oh, they're on a houseboat. There's a family camping.
Two daughters, mom, dad, they're like having a little picnic down on the water. Well, Andy waves. And the guy, like, pulls up the front of his shirt to, like, show a gun tucked in his belt. Yes. So then
you're like, oh,
okay. Well, he just, like, keeps going on the boat. And then you know that, like, some shit's going on.
Yeah, because they talk about, like, kind of running out of food and, like...
Well, I like how... I'm not saying it's a bad film. I'm just saying that it's
depressing.
Not, it's depressing. Like, what are we gonna do? The Road next?
That's
like,
I know.
Yeah, no, never.
The bookend movie, horribly sad.
I like how they kind of present it, where they're not a lot of zombie stuff. You watch it and you just see the newscast, like an outbreak here of this rabies, da da da. Where this one, it's kind of like slow. You don't really know what's going on, and it takes a long time before you even see anyone that's infected.
Well, and the only reason that I knew that it was from fracking was that I watched the director commentary.
Smarty pants.
Yeah. If you want to watch a movie that's against the mining industry in Australia, this is it.
Andy nets these little, like, survival packs out of the water. Mm-hmm. Or one.
Yeah.
And when he opens it, you find out it's, like, a containment pack for some type of infection.
Yeah.
There's a map in it to show where all the, like, outbreaks have been.
Yeah, the government did their best to try and, like, help the citizens, but it failed horribly.
Yeah. So it looks like one of those little waterproof survival kit things that you get, but it has like weird shit in it. One of the things is it looks like an EpiPen, but the needle on it is actually like giant,
3 inches
size.
Long. And
yeah. So you like
put it up to your temple.
Yeah. Once you're contaminated, like that's how you.
And it comes with a wristband that's automatically like
set to 48 hours.
Yeah, because
once you get it, you have 48 hours before you turn.
Yes, roughly.
Yeah. That, so they kind of, they're running low on food. Andy says shore is the last option. Kay, his wife, wants to get to shore and try to figure something else out.
Yeah.
She's worried about them staying on the boat and getting stranded. A lot of stuff like that. And then you see the young girl on shore again running. You don't really know, like, what's going on.
No.
Andy spots a half-sunk sailboat. So he sits there looking at it, decides to go explore it.
Yeah.
So he climbs in. It's kind of like sideways in the water. He climbs in. It's filled with water. There's tons of canned goods. So he gets a cooler, starts loading up all the canned goods, and then there's the door, which on the little sailboat, I would assume it's for the bedroom.
Yeah.
And it's like just barely cracked, and there's, it's black in there.
You hear something, and but
you hear flies.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's looking at that and it spooks him. So he gets out of there. Like he knows that there's someone in there.
Yeah.
Or assumes. Well, he comes back with food and his wife was like, oh, was it dangerous? And he's like, it was safe. I was completely safe the whole time.
Why wouldn't he? Why okay. wouldn't you just tell your wife?
So we watched it twice.
Okay.
Because the first time I'd been like, drinking a few, I didn't take any notes. I'm like, I'm just going to watch it through the one time and then yeah. I'll watch it again.
What if the movie like sucked and you absolutely hated it and never wanted to watch it again?
Well, I didn't want to watch this again. So she, Greg blames him because he could have said, I think there's something on this ship, be careful. But at the same time, he's trying to like cover, like, oh, everything was fine. Yeah. No big deal. I get some food.
I get both.
So I get both sides. He also had found a bottle of wine that he brought back for her, and he like wrote a little, wrapped it up and wrote a little note like, happy anniversary.
I love you, Blue, which is what he calls his wife.
So cute and sad.
It's adorable.
So she then, he goes to take a nap. She goes to the boat.
Curiosity killed the cat.
Literally.
Literally.
One thing is she doesn't have any kind of weapon with her. Like, not a crowbar. No. Not.
I think he took, like, a bat or something with him. I thought he took something with him.
No, he had a stick with, like, a mirror on it to, like, look down there to see okay. if there's anything in there. And when he didn't see anything, he jumped down. Well, she just went in, and she's looking at, like, random stuff, just kind of, like, exploring, because she thinks it's safe.
Yeah.
She doesn't think there's anything in there. Although, she heard the flies, and then she decides, okay, I'm getting out of here. Well, as she's, like, climbing out, you just see her from the top, and she gets pulled down.
Yeah. You don't know by what.
But you don't know by what, which makes it pretty spooky.
Yeah.
When Andy wakes up, it's because their baby's crying, and then he sees, like, bloody footprints through the boat. Kay's in the bathroom, and she'd been bit on the thigh.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, too, they're kind of, I'm not going to say that they're in denial that the bites cause anything, but Andy is like, oh, you could have been bitten by anything. And she was just like, yeah, it had fingers, Andy.
Well, they're like, you said they try to rationalize. Way calmer.
Yes, they're screaming at each other.
Yeah, because he says, oh, well, there's tons of things in this river that could have bit you. And she said it had fingers.
Yeah.
And then that's when he has to, like,
decide what to do.
Like, yeah. So then,
it had fingers, Andy. Fuck.
He also makes the connection because when she's first bit, he's like, let me get something for it, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't know that she was bit and he sees the watch. So, like, she's wearing the watch.
She's wearing it. Yeah.
And so at that point, he has to know. They decide to abandon ship.
Mm-hmm.
They pack up some food, put Rosie, their baby, in a backpack, and set out looking for a hospital, looking for, like, anything. As they're walking, they're passing all these burnt bodies.
Yeah.
The young girl, you see something in the background. You don't know what it is, but it's kind of like in a homemade cage. Mm-hmm. You see like a yellow jacket.
Oh, Toomey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It cuts to a scene with Toomey.
Yeah, it cuts to a scene with Toomey, and she's drawing a picture of a person with their head stuck in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
So they, like, go down on their knees and, like...
Because they want to be, like, in the dark. Like, they don't like the sun.
Yeah, but that's, like, the transition. Like, mm-hmm. when they lose humanity and, like, turn all the way infected.
Yeah.
So she... You don't know that, though.
You don't know that.
She's just drawing a picture and it has somebody's head in the sand. But she is sitting next to, like, this weird homemade cage. Kind of, like, in a cave with sticks across it. Mm-hmm. This part of the story is so fucking sad, too.
I know.
They find a car... they almost get caught. It's like a, they get caught by the infected.
Yeah.
When they, so at this point, who knows, 12 hours has went by. Like, you don't really know a ton of, like, her timeline because it's more Andy looking at his watch once that happens. They stop for a diaper change and... Kay's just trying to, like, play it like nothing's happening, like, yep. I'll be fine. Well, Andy picks up the map and is looking at it, and then he hears Rosie crying, and when he takes down the map, Kay's gone. So he gets out of the car, takes Rosie off of the hood, and Kay's collapsed, like, seizing.
And she's, like, vomiting blood.
Yeah.
Like, a goopy blood.
It's pretty disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And also the infected, too, they come with, like, a certain amount of slime.
Yeah, their body secretes, like, as they're transforming into the infected, like, full-blown, their body tries to, like, fight off the virus, and that's, like, the slime stuff that's secreting out of.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It looks infected, like, nasty.
So, and that's when she, because she kind of, like, looks at her leg wound.
And it's all slimy.
And it's all yellow and slimy. And she's just like, well, shit. Yeah. Like, I'm going to turn.
I mean.
She knew.
She knew. But all the stages that she goes through, it's like, she's just in such hard denial about it.
Yeah.
At this point, you see Toomey again. And her captive is gone.
Yeah, there are two stories for a good portion of the film, and then they kind of merge into one.
Yeah, it doesn't take very long for them to come together. So Toomey's captive is gone, which is super sad. Yeah, that's when Kay checks her wound. It's all goopy and disgusting. Her and Andy fight. She wants him to go on without her. Andy says he can't do that, and he, like, chucks her back in the car.
I know.
Like, he can't leave her.
I'm sorry I made you watch this.
Yeah. Yeah. You should be. I want to watch a movie where people I don't care about get killed by whoever, and it's disgusting.
We can do that one
guts
next.
Come out.
We can do one like that.
And
next.
Jason's there kicking off android heads. And
yeah,
I don't want emotionally scary.
Well, buckle up.
Yeah, I had no warning. I had zero warning. I didn't even look to see what this was about before we watched it. I didn't.
Well, whose fault is that?
I just took your advice.
Oh.
You said, let's do Cargo. And I said, all right. That was it. Okay, fine. I thought it was going to be like Snakes on a Plane or like...
Cargo. Ooh, you know what? Speaking of planes, Blood Red Sky would be a good one.
Does...
Another Netflix original with vampires.
Is there sad? What am I going to cry from it?
Probably.
If you're making that face, no, then we're not doing that one. Not it. So, he chucks her back in the car. Driving down the road, he's obviously distracted.
Yeah.
The man in the yellow jacket from earlier,
mm-hmm.
who was Toomey's captive, you don't know who he is to her yet.
You don't, no.
Walks out in front of the car. They swerve to miss him. Crash. And... Kay is impaled by a branch.
Yeah.
Like her...
like impaled in the stomach.
Through the stomach.
Yeah.
Andy passes out.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, doesn't really know.
They kind of, like, come to a little bit and then...
I think he blacks out. Mm-hmm. Because when he wakes up again, he looks over and Kay's face, her eyes and mouth are just completely covered with this, like, greenish-yellow goopy slime.
Yeah. And she's turned, folks.
And she's turned.
Yeah.
He reaches back to check...
Which, I am pissed off about this.
I am too.
Because she, like, comes to and starts flipping out and tries to attack him.
But
and
she's in a seatbelt.
She is. But he reaches behind her, like, in between the two passenger seats. And I'm like, why would you do... Like, you're gonna get bit that way.
I think it's just panic, like, he's reaching for his daughter. But... ideally, he would have gotten out of the vehicle, mm-hmm. left her strapped in, went into the back.
Yes.
Got his daughter.
But no, folks, that's not how it goes, how it pans out.
I guess the film would be over. He'd be off trying to find safety with her. But no, he gets bit, so then he only has 48 hours before he has to figure out.
To find safety for his daughter.
Yes. The cargo.
The cargo.
Fuck you, Chelsea.
You're welcome.
I really wanted a monster on a cargo ship. That's what I was
saying. We can do
for.
That. We can find one. We can find
a
stupid...
I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure there's a stupid one
out
there.
We could do Alien next. Although I'm invested in those characters, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to not care about the characters at all.
Okay.
And just watch them die.
Perfect.
He gets out, sees the man in the road. When the man, he's like, what were you doing? Blah, blah, blah. When the man turns, he has like a stick strapped across his mouth
mm-hmm.
so that he can't bite. And he's obviously also turned. Well, then Toomey, what am I saying? Oh, I skipped a part. He actually, he gets Rosie out of the car, sits her aside where she's safe, and goes back and uses the spike thing on Kay. Yeah. He also, at this point, he's walking with Rosie. She's crying, and he gets out the bottle of perfume, Kay's perfume, and sprays it to, like, calm her down. Hate you so much.
It's such a well done movie, though. It's so good, although very depressing.
Very depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Horror movies shouldn't make me cry. They should make me scared to get up to pee in the middle of the night. They should make me scared of a lot of things, but not scared of, like,
impending environmental doom.
I don't want to be emotionally
caused
scared
by people.
Okay, so that's when Andy sees the man that caused the accident. Well, he finds out that he's turned, and they're kind of like looking at each other, and Toomey runs out and says, leave my dad alone.
Mm-hmm.
So she cuts her own hand and then is wiping it on stuff and goes running off, and her dad turns to follow.
Yeah.
What? It looked like he had something to say.
No, I don't.
So he walks with Rosie till night.
Mm-hmm.
He finds a school. There's a woman, like, sitting in the school in
the
dark.
She's like a nurse teacher type thing.
I think she's just a teacher.
Is she just a teacher? Okay.
Maybe not. But he tells her that he thought it was, like, the school was bigger. It looked bigger on the map. The hospital looked bigger.
Oh, yeah, because there were, like, safety checkpoints or whatever.
Mm-hmm. He thought it would be somewhere to go to be safe. She basically tells him that all of her students went back to the old ways.
Yeah.
I
think that was a town that was primarily, like, Aboriginal people.
Yeah, because when you look at her with her class,
mm-hmm.
they're all Aboriginal. She's the teacher. Mm-hmm. And I think in that frame, I think Toomey's in that framed photo.
Yes, she is.
She's like upper, one of the upper corners. She can't really do anything to help him, but she does patch up his arm.
Tells him to keep it hidden.
Yeah, tells him to keep it hidden. She said, so he's kind of like debating leaving Rosie with her.
Yeah.
And then she's sitting there like kind of in her own like room, and he glances in and she takes off her wig and has like a big surgery scar down the side of her head. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming cancer.
Yeah.
Would be. So then he's like, okay, well, I can't leave my daughter with this older woman that has medical issues.
Yeah.
So what she tells him is that the local tribe, they've been starting fires at night, luring in the infected to kill them. Mm-hmm. And they go completely back to their, like, natural ways that they've done. They're, like, hunting them, essentially. Yeah. That's when Toomey, she's kind of, like, watching them from the bushes.
There is something to that was said. So there's a man that's called the Clever Man, and he's played by David Gopilli. He's the older guy that's sitting around the fire, like with Toomey and stuff. And he says, man poisons the earth. The earth is poisoning man.
Yeah.
So it's like a big reversal.
Yeah. It was, but she's like thinking back to like sitting around the campfire with her dad, and mm-hmm. that's when Clever Man,
I think,
comes up later, mentions that.
No, it's not.
This was like a little flashback that she's having. Mm-hmm. She's like scoping out her family, which you don't really know that's her family.
No, not right now.
But she's like kind of peeking, and that's when she has that memory. Mm-hmm. It goes back to Andy. He's investigating the little hospital, and he picks up a razor, and then he imagines digging. Mm-hmm. So the razor, too, kind of ties back in the beginning, because his wife asks him if there was any razors on the ship that on the boat they were investigating, because he was looking scruffy. Mm-hmm. So he picks up a razor and is kind of looking at it, because that's one of the last conversations that he had with her before all the shit happened. He starts imagining digging and has a seizure. When he wakes up, he has a blanket and pillow and like a pile of fresh clothes next to him. Mm-hmm. So Etta, the woman that he met, was like caring for him, but still also was like, you have to travel on.
You can't stay here.
You can't. She gives him a family photo. And she said, the man in this photo, his name's Willie. I don't know the last name.
Willie Bell.
Yeah, this mm-hmm. is his family. Find him. You know, tell him I sent you. You'll be safe. And he just says, oh, I've seen that man. And she's like, okay, well, find him and tell him I sent you and you'll be okay. You can, like, live with them. Well, obviously.
Yeah.
He doesn't know any of them are alive. Well, he knows the girl's alive.
Yes.
But he doesn't know about the wife, nothing.
Yep.
But he has this, he has Toomey's family photo now. Mm-hmm. They walk through an area, so he's headed out to look for them. I don't even know. Oh, yeah. He goes to the military base. That was like the next thing. Or an area that had been kind of taken over by the military. And this was creepy because he's walking through like what exactly you would picture Australia's like.
Yeah.
Like deserty with kind of like scrub brush. And there's like dozens of people with their heads buried in the sand.
Yeah.
Which is just really just.
It's weird.
Weird and creepy. Mm-hmm. He walks up and he sees a truck. And he's, like, thinking about going into the truck, but he's, like, checking it out. And a guy that's, you don't know, is trapped, but he is trapped down in this pit, was like, stay away from my truck. Well, then he shoots one of the infected behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He had been scavenging and got stuck in the hole, and he needs Andy to pull like a big gas tank off of his foot to like untrap him.
Yeah.
And then he says something like, don't fuck me. Like, you better not screw me over. Like,
enter the asshole in this film. He's such a dick. I hated this guy.
More, he's the worst.
Yeah.
His name's Vic. So he gets Vic unstuck. They escape in the truck and they go back to this gated area where there's a very pretty woman waiting named Lorraine.
Lorraine. Mm-hmm.
You
know, she looks a little young for him.
One, she looks young for him. Not saying that there's
anything wrong with that.
But she does look a little bit young. She does not look happy at all to see that he's come back.
No.
He was like, look what I got you. And like puts this like beautiful pearl necklace on for her.
Cool.
And she's just...
It's very awkward.
It's so awkward. You can tell right away that it's like crazy. Well, then she goes in their little cabin thing to make him. It's like a platform.
Mm-hmm.
They go in there and she goes back to like make tea for Andy and immediately pulls the necklace off and just drops it in a bowl on the counter. Like.
Drama.
A little bit.
Ugh.
Vic has these plans for like when it gets back to normal.
I don't know if he's witnessed zombie apocalypse films, but it never gets back to normal.
No.
Unless you're in Shaun of the Dead, and even then.
Even then, you don't.
It's like,
Yeah. When like 90% of the population dies, it doesn't just go back to normal. Like, anyway. Andy gets talking with Lorraine, and this, you don't really, you know, still don't know what happens.
Nope.
But they, you know, Vic worked at the mine. She says, oh, I worked in the canteen. He says, oh, you know, working, you know, the food's the most important part. Men must have loved you. And she said, one did.
And then she kind of 1,000-yard stare.
Did you put that together immediately?
Yeah.
Or were you like...
Yeah. No, absolutely. I put together
the whole situation.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to like
That's
get
okay.
more comfortable in the chair.
One did.
I know. Stares off. Sad music plays.
Somewhere in Time music. Oh.
I just... Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That... Even Greg was grossed out by this whole thing.
Yeah.
That's
a no thank you.
Yeah. So Andy or Vic immediately takes Andy out to like so Andy can prove himself to like see if they want to keep him
around. He reminds me of every backwoods redneck I have ever met in my entire life.
It kind of reminds me of 28 Days Later when Jim shows up and they're like, okay, what are you going to do for us, Jim?
Yes.
Like at the where the military is all hanging out.
Oh, God.
We don't really want you around, but what are you going to do for us?
But we'll take your women, just like Vic wants to take Rosie and have this perfect little
family.
And have
this family. Like, oh,
with not wife Lorraine.
Lorraine will love having someone else's baby to take care of.
Perfect.
That doesn't make things less awkward. Mm-hmm, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So they take him out, or Vic takes him out, and he has human beings that he's caught in cages, and he's using them for bait.
Which I think would happen. Like, it would absolutely happen.
Oh, for sure, that would absolutely happen.
All of the terrible situations I've seen in Walking Dead and stuff.
I was going to say, this is very Walking Dead.
It's very Terminus.
Well, no, in Terminus, they ate the people.
Okay.
This is more like something like the governor would have done or yes. whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like basically the same setup that's happening now, like something that the community that they're part of now would do. Like
you're
going to use these people. I'm sure they have. And I just can't remember. Use people as bait.
But yeah, real uninfected people as bait. They're chained in there.
So when they start shooting, basically the person in the cage just has to like curl up and hope that they don't get shot.
Yes.
I was wondering
that too.
They were in a truck a ways away. Like they could have just pulled right with a knife up there
or something and just like gone and done
it. Okay. Does either of them look like Daryl Dixon?
No.
They're not knifing anybody.
Rick Grimes.
Rick hasn't been around in
for years.
Seasons.
Yes, at I this know. Point. But
but yeah, nobody's knifing them. They're just way far away shooting, which it seems like they would have driven. They're in the truck. Like, drive right up.
Yes.
Shoot them. You're fine. Anyway, so then they get up.
Crossbow. That YouTube video.
Oh.
That parody YouTube video with Norman Reedus.
Oh, yeah.
When he's someone's trying to teach him how to use a crossbow, and you could tell it's just like him goofing around, obviously.
Well, yeah.
For jokes, for the giggles.
Was that that wasn't the same one where he was like an intern?
No.
He's an intern for some company and he's like riding a bicycle around, like throwing people's mail at them and just being
hilarious.
Obnoxious. Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, when they get up to the cage to like salvage jewelry and cash off of these dead people.
Why would cash is not going to be a thing.
No.
If you don't have crops or meat or something you could barter.
Well, because he thinks that, like, you're going to, once civilization comes around, like, he's going to need all these things.
Nah.
No, not at all. Because there's an abundance of it.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want, like, a designer jacket when you can just go into any store and grab that designer jacket yourself? Food, that might be more important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you going to pick bread or, you know, a diamond ring?
Right.
Like, what's more practical?
Yeah.
Anyway, they go up to the cage to salvage things from people, scavenge, whatever. And Toomey's in the cage.
I know.
And she just looks so sad.
And now the two stories become one.
Yes. They, okay, I just completely lost my train of thought. That is when I've just completely
That's
lost
okay.
where I was at.
You're doing a real good job.
Oh, so Lorraine is watching Rosie. And she finds some of that, like, gross goo mm-hmm. on her, like, pant leg.
Yeah.
So she just sits back. And this was kind of, like, a cool moment because she puts Rosie down. And Rosie's sitting up looking at her.
Like, hey, what's up?
And she's looking at her like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, then, same time, Vic and Andy, they go do the same thing at the next cage. And it's the Clever Man.
Mm-hmm.
Clever Man must have been somewhat of a dick at some point to Vic, because Vic throws blood and guts all around the cage and then turns on the radio
and says a lot of racial slurs.
Yeah.
To him.
Yeah.
You know, being a dick.
And that's when it's like very, very Walking Dead.
Yeah.
They get back, and this is the part that Greg was not the grossed him out and me. Vic goes to kiss Lorraine, and she, like,
absolutely appalled.
Like, she kisses him, but just the look on her face, and, like, she immediately turns away, like it's the worst thing that she's ever done in her life. And she still hasn't, like, said anything.
Like, what yeah. was going on. Yeah.
She doesn't tell Vic about the goo.
Nope. But you do see Rosie's clothes like hanging up on yeah. the line.
She's so like, I cleaned her up for you. So she probably also washed the baby to make sure that there was no,
she wasn't like, infected or yeah, anything. Yeah.
That there was no bites
mm-hmm.
on Rosie. Andy leaves the house when everyone's asleep and he goes out And he's sitting there, like, contemplating with the spike.
Yeah.
Like, trying to work up the nerve to spike himself. Lorraine sees him. She comes out and she's holding Rosie. Lorraine tells him, because Andy thinks, like, I'm leaving Rosie with his husband and wife.
Family.
It'll be fine. They can raise her. You know, at least, even though Vic's kind of a dickbag, at least she'll be taken care of.
Lorraine seems cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Lorraine was like, he's not my husband.
It's all a lie.
It's all a lie. She tells him that Vic left her husband and the other miners to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At this point, Vic comes out, which you know he's going to. It's like, oh, what's going on? Trying to steal my girl. And knocks out Andy. And apparently punches or hits Lorraine. You don't see that part. But when they come back later, she's got this big nasty bruise on the side of her face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When Andy wakes up, he is in the cage with Toomey. Mm-hmm. And they're chained together.
Yeah.
Like, their wrists are, like, shackled together. He's, like, trying to think of a plan. He comes up with a plan. She says that all she wants is the keys to the clever man's cage. They escape by getting what Toomey calls the ghosts, mm-hmm. which are the infected,
yeah.
to lift the gate. So he, like, pulls some guts down off the cage, ties them up in a rope, tosses them. And as the infected are, like, pulling and fighting over this, that, which, like, super, lifts the gate.
Yeah.
I would probably, though, be helping lift the gate.
Yes. Instead of just relying on the infected. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they break out, which was cool. They break into Vic's house, which the two of them together climb over the fence, like, still chained. That's when I saw that Lorraine was, one, not sleeping in their bed. She's, like, sleeping by the doorway, curled up, and has, yeah.
It's yeah, really it's sad. It's very sad.
Andy gets the keys. They manage, the four of them manage to get out without waking up Vic at this point. However, Vic wakes up.
If you didn't like Vic up until this point, you will definitely, or if you thought, eh, he's just a little crazy, everything's fine.
Using people as bait is beyond crazy.
Right. You will hate him after this.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So he's shooting at them as just they're, like, trying to escape.
Why? Fuck. I mean, he's insane. Why am I asking why?
Yeah. Well, he thinks that one, his prisoner that was his bait, and the guy that he thinks is trying to steal his girl,
yeah,
are running away with his girl.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Well, he goes to shoot, and he's aiming at Andy, and Lorraine jumps, like, in the way.
Yeah.
Like, well, no hesitation.
She doesn't really, she holds up her hands, and she's just like, no, don't do this, or whatever, and he shoots her.
She, yeah, but she does, like, jump, like, he's aiming at Andy, and she is like, no, don't do this, and he still shoots.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever intended on shooting her.
No, I think it was an accident, yeah.
But she gets shot, and when she turns, she just is standing there, and she looks at them for a minute, and you can tell that she'd been shot in the chest, mm-hmm. and then just collapses, which was sad. But maybe she thought that was a better option
than living forever with the guy that killed her yeah. husband and all of.
Yes. Yeah. That part was, like, super sad. So then they get back to Clever Man's cage. Who is it?
It's Hayden.
Oh. And Clever Man's gone.
Yeah.
So he must have figured it out.
Yeah.
It is kind of cool, too, which I didn't mention earlier.
You're okay.
Rollerblades through the house.
Yeah. How else do you get from point A to point B?
So the cages, they remind me of, like, old-timey tiger cages. Like, they're tiny.
Yeah.
But they have fluorescent lights built in over the top to make them, like, look even spookier and, I'm sure, to, like, draw in.
Yeah.
But the clever man's gone. So at this point, Toomey and Andy are being hunted by Vic, and they hide together. She uncuffs them. As he's, like, down and, like, trying to break the chain with a rack, and she just holds up the keys like, you big dummy.
Yeah.
When she wakes up, this is, like, pretty sad. Andy's standing facing the wall and, like, chewing on the rock wall where there's, like, a blood spot.
Yeah.
He kind of snaps out of it. At that point, this is, like, another, like, horrible thing. So, Toomey finds her dad dead.
Yeah.
Officially dead. Her family came back and killed him.
Yeah.
And buried him, like...
In the trees.
In the trees. So, he's, like, up in, like, a big nest of branches.
So, his ghost doesn't get away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then his jacket is, like, hanging over a lower branch on the tree. So, it's kind of like a grave marker.
Yeah.
This was, like... You don't really know what's going on till later. But when she sees that, she, like, picks up a rock and starts, like, hitting herself on the top of the head with
it.
Yeah. She explains that later. But Andy tries to break it up. He's got 9 hours left at this point. He's digging. And because at this point, they kind of, like, go their separate... For a second, they go their separate ways. For a second, yeah. So she finds her dad separately from... What Andy and Rosie are doing. Well, Andy gets down on the ground and starts digging, and Toomey can hear Rosie crying.
Yeah.
When Andy wakes up, Toomey has Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
And she decides to lead him to her people.
Yes.
So, because she had kind of been fighting it. She didn't want to, like, go back there.
No. Well, because they were going to kill her dad.
Yeah. So she took off. And she's, like, teen.
Yeah. I'd say she's, like, 13.
13 or 14. Yeah. On the way, though, he wants to go back and try to find the people on the river. Because at this point, then, he went to the school. Well, now he's going back towards the river because her people are in that area, too. Mm-hmm. He notices when they, like, get to the shore where he saw the people before that she has leaves stuck in the bottom of her shoe. And he asks what that's for, and she says, to hide from my mom.
Yeah. She, like, ran away with her dad. With her infected dad.
He asks her why she was hitting herself with a rock and, like, why she did that. And she points to her head and says, when this heals, then maybe this will be healed, and points to her heart. And I'm like,
ugh. I know.
Well, they get to the RV or caravan, depending on what part of the world you're in, and the family isn't there. So he leaves Toomey there, goes out. Tries to find him. The dad is digging.
He's digging for pirate treasure.
Mm-hmm. According to his children. You notice that he has a watch on. Yeah.
It's terrible.
He says that he can't leave his family.
Which I get, but why are you taking your family with you? Like, especially the kids. Like, do you think the kids?
Well, he mentions that. He says, take them with you to Andy. At least take the two.
And Andy's like, no, thank you.
I already have a baby and a teenage girl that I can't, and I'm dying too. Like, what do you want me to do?
But it probably would have maybe worked out.
It probably would have, yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't know that.
You don't know
that. Nobody knows that.
Nope.
It's the apocalypse. Like, at this point, too, Toomey is kind of, like, going through the bags and, like, going through stuff. And that's when she finds her family photo.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like...
So now she knows that he went to the teacher.
Yeah.
And that kind of...
When that comes together, too, she sees the photo, and then she starts pulling the leaves off of the bottoms of her shoes.
Yeah.
Beach Dad kills his family.
Yeah, so you hear the three gunshots or whatever, and like the kids have like pirate hats on, and they're like, "Oh, buried treasure!" Like,
and he's like, "Yeah, kids,
come look at the treasure. We found it." And then he
does. Is mom? Mom's got to be in on this, right?
I would hope so. But yeah, three gunshots, and then you see
him foggy in the background, like out of focus.
Yeah,
walking up, and you see him shoot himself, and he tells Andy too that he's got 6 bullets. And 2 of them can be for Andy and his daughter, if that's, like, the way he wants to go. And then Andy sits down and is, like, thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because what's he going to do? He thinks on it, for sure.
I wrote down, want to find this treasure? Ugh. And then I wrote, look at the flowers.
It's a very look at the flowers moment. Toomey tells him that she wants to go home. He says, you know, how are we going to get back there, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, there's smoke right on the other side of this bridge. So we don't have to get far.
Right.
But it's still miles.
Because they've been, like, taking down hordes and stuff and burning the bodies and trying to Toomey's clean up.
Toomey's family has been, like, they light big fires at night. And as the infected come up, they're just killing them all.
Yeah.
They're actually, like, taking, like, a pretty good stand.
Yeah.
And you don't know either, like, how big their community is till the end, really. You think it's maybe 10 people. Mm-hmm. You don't know. As they're crossing over this bridge, they're looking down, and there's a ton of them. A ton of infected.
Yep.
And once they cross the bridge, then they have to go through a tunnel, and there's a bunch that... Toomey says are hibernating.
Yeah, and in the darkness.
In the dark. Mm-hmm. And they're just like head against the wall, just kind of like...
vibing. They're just vibing.
They are. They have their head against the wall and they're all just kind of like... Well, as they're almost out of the tunnel, guess who's there?
Oh, fucking Vic.
Vic is there.
The worst.
Well, Andy's got a gun. So they end up, like, fighting, wrestling over the gun. Toomey and Rosie, like, get in this truck to, like, hide. Well, then Vic pulls them out. Vic is shot.
Yeah.
And Andy's beat up really bad.
Toomey hits her head pretty good.
And Toomey hits her head. So when Andy kind of comes around, Vic is sitting there with Rosie, like, bouncing around his lap.
Sobbing.
And he says, well, you took something from me. Now I'm going to take something from you.
The fuck you are, Vic.
Yes. They end up, he just takes the baby and, like, walks away.
Vic is just, like, sobbing. And
yeah,
Martin Freeman's like, can I just have my kid back? And he's like, okay. He doesn't say okay.
Yeah,
but
he just takes Rosie. At this point, then Toomey has a fairly bad head injury. Andy's eyes have gooped up really bad.
Yeah.
So Andy knows he doesn't have much time.
No. Not at all.
He does have, like, a little bit of a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So once he gets the goop off of his eyes, you see him take, like, a handful of, like, guts, essentially, from, like, roadkill.
And Toomey, at this point, too... she puts, like, a white mark on Rosie's cheek and, like, a white, like, she redoes her white.
Yeah, she's got, like, white face paint. And all of her people, too, when you see them, like, luring them in, their faces are all painted
because
white.
Because it keeps the ghosts away. Yes. And so at that point, Martin Freeman is just like, well, what about me? And she says, you don't need that. You smell like them already.
Which is so sad.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a walking stick. Andy's walking with Rosie in a backpack. He's kind of propping up Toomey to, like, help her get along too, because her head is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to keep her talking, trying to keep her going. And then finally, Andy takes her walking stick that she has and he ties meat to the end of it, the little guts that he found. And he says, I'm going now. Well, then he gets out the case. You don't know what's exactly going to happen.
No, you don't know what
happens. The emergency little plastic case thing. And he starts digging. Then Toomey helps him put Rosie on his back again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like zip ties, like the like police like wrist zip ties. Then so he's like contained at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, and he has like a bite guard in, like a
puts before he like fully turns, he puts the bite guard in that came out of the case.
Yeah. His meat hands stick, are tied.
His hands are tied, all of the things.
The meat stick. So Toomey, you don't see this, but there's a big like smoke from where they're luring in all the infected, and they're like getting ready to leave, but you hear whistling. And it's Toomey, like, doing a little bird whistle. Well, her mom turns around, like, what the fuck? Well, then one of her group of people, they see him and are going to go, going to spear him just in the fog.
Yes.
Well, then, as he's coming out of the smoke, you see that Toomey was also riding on his back.
Yeah.
And she was using the bait, the stick of meat out in front and as, like, a bait.
On her mom's face when she sees Toomey, it's just like, oh.
Well, what's sad about it too, and I thought about it later, is like she knew the clever man got captured.
Mm-hmm.
So the clever man had to know that she got captured too.
Yes.
So her mom probably thought she was dead.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, bad enough this all this is going on and she's like running around, you know?
Yeah.
But... Yeah, when he comes out, his eyes are all goopy.
Yeah.
His hands are tied. He's got the mouth guard in. So they stop him. He doesn't, go after them.
No.
A couple people put spears up, and then another person is going to, like, spear him in the chest. This part made me cry so hard. Toomey, you're going to cry right now just thinking about it.
Oh, it's so good, but so sad.
Toomey... It was like, wait, not yet, not yet. And at this point, they'd taken...
Toomey was holding his hand.
Yes.
At the
She's
point,
holding
too.
His hand. She gets Kay's perfume bottle and sprays it so he can smell it right before he's stabbed.
Yeah.
And he does kind of, like, turn his head and, like, mm-hmm. acknowledge that he can smell it right before they stab him.
Yeah. Because she tells them to wait, wait a second.
Yeah, she stops them.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, puts her hand in front of the spear and is like, wait, and then takes his hand. It's fucking sad.
It's so good.
No.
Anyway.
Sad is not good.
So Rosie ends up with Toomey's family, and you see, like, Josie, like, Toomey's mom, holding Rosie, and they like kind of see like paint on her shirt or like the white paint, and they lift up, and on Rosie's tummy it says thank you.
Are you gonna cry now?
No.
And they buried Andy in their like traditional way, like up in the
trees with the fishing ornament thing that his wife made that he kept.
Yeah, like a little like mobile thing for Rosie out of fishing lures.
Yeah.
What?
So what did... And that's the end of the movie. You find out that Toomey's,
tribe... Well, on top of just her family that's there,
there
are a ton of survivors.
A ton of survivors,
that have all went to a more, like, native way on how to survive, and they're all, like, thriving. Like...
Yeah.
Everyone's doing good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very large group of people.
Yeah.
I liked it, but it also was horribly sad. Who is it?
Jason.
Oh.
He's coming over to bike with Mike.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you guys were doing that tonight.
Yeah. But you liked it, even though it was very depressing.
I would never watch it again.
I would watch it again.
No. I don't need a reason to cry.
Right.
I just don't.
I cried the first time I watched it.
I cried a little the first time, but more the second time because I was paying closer attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Would you suggest it? Is this something you would suggest to people in a non-traditional zombie film? Because I don't think it's a very traditional zombie movie.
No. I would recommend it. I'm just never going to watch it again.
Right.
There's a lot of movies that I've watched once and they're good, like critically acclaimed films that I'm never going to watch again.
The Road. Yeah, fuck that.
Movie and book. Fuck it, both, because it was traumatizing. It's like I didn't need to think any of those things.
I know. People are terrible.
That's like Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Never going to watch that again.
You told me about that movie and I was like, I am never watching that movie.
Or Requiem of a Dream.
Nope, never watching.
I never have to watch that again.
I watched that movie like twice. And the second time, it just gave me an icky feeling. And I was like, you know what? No, thank you.
How did it not the first time?
I think I was drunk the first time I watched it.
Traumatizing. It'd be even worse if you were drunk.
Right.
If they showed that in schools, no one would ever do drugs.
No.
You would never, ever, do drugs. Yeah, I liked it, but it was also...
It was very sad.
I wish I would have known what it was about, and I could have mentally prepared myself for all the trauma.
Well, you said yes very quickly when I said it was on Netflix and it was free. And then I feel bad because I feel like I should have warned you.
Like, hey, it's sad.
Yeah, but I didn't.
I can't remember what your other options
were. It was like Lazarus Effect and
a
couple other ones. Those are bloody and
yeah,
you don't really care about the characters.
I need more people dying and less crying.
Okay. We'll do that next time. All right. Well, if you like what you hear and you want to know what we're going to be doing later or whatever, follow us on Instagram at @slashermoviereview, all one word, all lowercase. And then we have a Facebook page, @slashermoviereview.
All right. Wow. I hope everybody has a good night and a good week. And if you want to have a good cry, watch this film.
Watch Cargo on Netflix. Have a nice day.
Bye.
Bye.